We're going to talk about colonoscopies now. They've been long thought of as one of the most reliable diagnostics for cancer. But today we have a new information from researchers in North Carolina.
I think the caution that doctors and patients should have is just to think that colonoscopy is not 100% effective. It's probably not 90% effective. It's probably on the order, based on the best evidence that we have now, I think about 60 to 70% effective, which for a screening test is really, really remarkable.
A new study published online yesterday indicates that the screening method is not as effective as many thought. Joining us for more is Gina Colata, a medical reporter for the New York Times. Good morning and welcome, Gina.
Good morning. Thank you.
Now, the results of this study is going to come as a surprise to many. How do you explain what they found?
Well, I think part of the problem is that there had been, it had made so much sense that colonoscopies would be incredibly effective because, after all, what are you doing? You're putting a scope up someone's colon, and every time you see a little polyp, you snip it off. And polyps, 90% of them are fine, but there's a few of them that can eventually, over a long period of time, turn into cancer. So the idea is this is the perfect test. You find these little things, no big deal, snip them off, and you won't get cancer. So when people said, you have this, you can prevent colon cancer, it kind of made a lot of logical sense. Now it's turning out that it's harder sometimes to get to parts of the colon than people have appreciated. And when you get, even if you get to parts of the colon that are hard to get to, you may miss some of these little polyps for a lot of reasons, or there may be things that grow a lot faster than anybody expected in between colonoscopies, and so you may end up with cancer even if you had a colonoscopy.
So, Gina, is it a problem with the technology, the tools used to perform a colonoscopy, or is it about the doctors who are performing them?
I think that there's a problem with the biology of colon cancer, which is not as well understood as people had thought. There's a problem with the doctors performing the test, and there's a problem with patients preparing for the test. That's what people told me anyway. So there's three things that may be going on to explain why this test, although it's extraordinarily effective compared to almost any other test, is not quite what many people thought it was.
But there's an imaging question here. Basically, there are things that are going on in the colon that do not resolve well in the colonoscopy image, and they have to learn how to detect those events that previously they weren't paying much attention to. I guess I'm wondering, is there a sort of implication for the standard of care here? What age are men and women supposed to get on a yearly basis or, some sort of regular frequency, a colonoscopy? And does that change as a result of this?
People, the recommendation had been, many people, not everybody recommends the same thing. That's part of the problem, too. But for many people, what the recommendation was is you have one around age 50. If there are no polyps, everything's clean and clear, you can wait 10 years. And then people thought, okay, I'm guaranteed no cancer for 10 years. Because the idea is if you do get a polyp, it can take 10 years to develop into anything, so you should be fine. And that 10 years was sort of, it was not based on really hard science. It's not entirely clear what the interval should be. The American Cancer Society says it's not worthwhile trying to change the frequency at this point because there is some risk of having a colonoscopy anyway, that you could have a perforated colon. It's rare, but it happens, and the more you have, the greater your risk is going to be that it might happen to you. And then the other problem is that, even though it's a leading cause of cancer death, colon cancer is still a rare disease, and chances are still really good that if you had a colonoscopy and the doctor said they removed or there were no polyps or they removed everything they saw, chances are really good that you're not going to get cancer in the next 10 years. So you're not going to add a whole lot of protection by having a colonoscopy more often, and chances are your insurance company's not going to pay for that extra colonoscopy.
But Gina, now armed with this information, is there some way that patients need to change their approach when they go in to see their doctor and they actually have one?
Well, there's several things that people recommended to make. One of them is you should really ask a lot of questions of your doctor. I mean, this is a test that many people find extremely unpleasant because you have to take these powerful laxatives to totally clean out your bowel. So one thing you want to do is make sure that if you're going to go through all this, first of all, you do it right. You're very, very careful and take all that horrible laxative. Secondly, you want to, one of the things that many people recommend now is that you take half the laxative the night before and half in the morning, because if you don't take it, if you wait too long between taking the laxative and having the test, this really thick, disgusting mucus can pour into your right colon from your appendix and cover up polyps and make it hard to see them.
Yeah.
A third thing is check out your doctor. You should ask, you might want to ask, how many colonoscopies does this doctor do? They should be doing at least 3 or 4 a day. What's their detection rate? How often are they finding polyps? They should be finding them about 15% of men, 25% of women. How you should also ask them, how do they know that they saw your entire colon? You're supposed to get all the way through to the appendix. And is there a documentation? In good places, they actually photograph the landmarks and say, here's how we know we actually got there.
Right.
So you can ask these questions and make sure that if you're going to go through all this, if there's anything there, there's a better chance that they'll find it.
In some sense, this is a lot like the track of mammography, in that the test is really important, yet there's a certain art to it as you discover more and more complexity about the organ that you're looking at. You have to pay attention to different kinds of things than was originally thought.
Yes, it is. And the other thing that makes it kind of interesting is they're still developing, the American Cancer Society and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention are now working on performance standards so they could say to doctors, here's how you know how well you're doing. With mammography, I think they're a little bit more advanced on that. They actually do go to centers that do mammography and try to assess how well they've done. So one thing that I was told is that if you don't tell a doc, if there's no way for a doctor to know how well he or she has done in colonoscopy, mm-hmm. they can think they're really terrific and they could be missing a lot.
Hmm. Well, good information to have. Gina Colata, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much. It was fun talking to you.
Gina Colata is a medical reporter for the New York Times, talking about a new study on colonoscopies.
It's not as accurate as we thought. And, of course, more information on our website, thetakeaway.org. Barack Obama is going to announce his Secretary of Education today. It's believed to be Arnie Duncan, a veteran of the Chicago school system. He's been fixing schools in Chicago. What do you think?
The problem with education is too much administration. I have a 15-year-old child. I live in a community that has two school buildings and a school superintendent. The town next door has the same thing. The two towns share a high school, which requires a third school superintendent. These people make hundreds of thousands of dollars a year that could be better spent on the children.
So clear it out in the top ranks or work on the classroom. 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org. Here's your takeaway.
Things are so telegraphed that the announcements are, I don't want to say anticlimactic, but it's not like we're going to get big surprises. We know what's going on in the economy, we know what the data points are, and we know that we're going to get a interest rate cut.
We thought it was a cliffhanger with the Federal Reserve meeting today, but Dan Gross said, nope, not at all. Senior editor at Newsweek talking about all the unsurprising things the Federal Reserve might do today. If you missed anything here at The Takeaway, our podcast is to go. You can subscribe at thetakeaway.org or on iTunes.
I'm Adora Udoji.
And I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.